grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you happen to be visiting with us today, a special welcome to you. Great to have you here. If you're joining us by way of the YouTube live stream, we welcome you as well. Or if you're listening in on the Cathedral audio podcast, welcome to you. I just have a couple of things that I want to mention briefly. First of all, a reminder of the New Year's Day Eucharist with our bishop. So that's 11 o'clock on New Year's Day. That's Wednesday. And you might keep that in mind for later in the week. Also, just a reminder that I'm still looking for folks to join me in a stewardship study certificate through Atlantic School of Theology in stewardship, and that'll be about 7 or 8 sessions between now and probably mid or late April. And if you're interested in that, please let me know or speak to Kurt Schmidt. He'd be happy to talk to you as well. We've got 4 people from the cathedral who have expressed interest and about a half dozen from elsewhere in the Archdeaconry. So we do have a bit of a group, but if that's something you'd like to be part of, please speak to me. And also, we have begun preparation for confirmation, reaffirmation of faith, and reception, which we'll do at Easter time. So we had one session a week or so ago, and another 8 or 9 between now and Easter Eve. And once again, if that's something that you had thought about doing and would still like to join, please get in touch with me or Kurt Schmidt. It would be not too late for you to join us. We're on Wednesday evenings about every other week. Is there anything else that needs announcing? We're worshiping today using the green-colored Book of Alternative Services. It is the service of the Holy Eucharist. And we continue now with the Glory to God, which you'll find either on page 186 of the BAS or in the hymn book at 686. Standing for the collect of the day.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. has shed upon us the new light of your incarnate word. May this light enkindled in our hearts shine forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year, and when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. The word of the Lord.
The appointed psalm is a response to the first reading. Psalm 148, you'll find it in the Green Book of Alternative Services on page 907. Psalm 148, page 907. And we'll read alternating verses responsively by the verse. Hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all you angels of his. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
He made the sand pass forever and ever. He gave them a law which shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and living birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name only is exalted. His splendor is over earth and heaven.
He has raised up strength for his people, and he raised up all his loyal servants, the children of Israel, the people who are in him. Hallelujah.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. The word of the Lord.
Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor.
The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The passage we read from the Gospel of Luke this morning has been described as a single flower from a walled garden of the early life of Jesus. This is the only passage in the Bible that refers to Jesus the boy. We see the baby in a manger, then this little story, and then we jump suddenly to Jesus' adult baptism in the Jordan River. We have little indication of what Jesus' growing years were like, except this one glimpse. This one gospel account is the only thing that breaks the silence between our Lord's birth and his baptism, a silence of 30 years. For us, it's still Christmas, of course. We're still basking in the light of the incarnation. That's a heady, complicated word, but its meaning is straightforward. I'll never actually forget the confirmation candidate who one day suggested to us that it had something to do with evaporated milk. Incarnation is the Spirit, God taking physical flesh. The Christmas celebration is that God became like we are so that we could become like he is. And it's a central core doctrine of Christianity, and no other world religion makes a similar claim. And we move ever closer to the end of yet another calendar year. But in the Gospel of Luke today, it's Passover. Jesus is at the ripe old age of 12. In the traditional way, the yearly Exodus takes this Jewish family to Jerusalem. Being at this age, this was probably when Jesus became bar mitzvahed. That is, son of the law. Jesus shows a single-mindedness that brings him into tension with his family. Can you see the look of amazement on the faces of the temple teachers? Can you see the look of amazement on the face of his parents? Jesus separated from them, not an unusual thing since whole villages traveled to Passover together. The women often traveled ahead, the men came along later, and the children would be with friends or other relatives in the larger crowd. It might very well be that when they stopped at night at camp, the whereabouts of the children would be noted, but this time it took a return to Jerusalem to find Jesus. Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. And Jesus says, you should have known where to look. You should have known that I would be in my Father's house. Some translations say about my Father's business. Jesus is, even now, looking into the future. And there are three things here that we might note about his looking as we too prepare to look into the new future of a coming year. Jesus looks to the future with conviction. Up to this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' specialness is on the lips of others: Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, Simeon, Anna, Zechariah, and some shepherds and angels. Now Jesus claims this specialness for himself. Here at the age of 12, we see stirrings of his own identity. Relationship with God begins in such a moment for us all. There comes a day when the testimony of all around you, no matter how true, becomes secondary to the hunger of the choosing of your own heart. And it isn't easy to come to these convictions. We observe them as the teenage years, and they are often a struggle. Second, Jesus looks with trust. He said he was in his Father's house. There was no way a 12-year-old could fully understand what was ahead of him. None of us know what lies ahead in our future. How do we live our lives with that kind of uncertainty? Well, I think it's called trust. For Jesus, the Father's business would mean temptation, passion, and a cross. How could he have known that his learning would be learning to die? The same voice that said, "I must be in my Father's house," would one day utter, "Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." And those two statements can only be held together by a rope of trust. When life tests our convictions about specialness and grace and purpose, we survive by trusting in the sheer magnitude of God's love and care. And finally, there's an awareness here. "In my Father's house," Jesus said. Now, he said that in Jerusalem, but he learned to say it in Nazareth. Even though Jesus traveled at special times and festivals to Jerusalem and other places, he spent most of his time in Nazareth. So where is God at work? In the plain deeds of a carpenter's shop, in the routine relationships of a small town, in a family where he learned his images and stories. What Jesus eventually preached abroad, he started to learn at home, in Nazareth. An old hymn I grew up singing reads, "Those mighty hands that rule the sky no earthly toil refuse. The maker of the stars on high a humble trade pursues." As we step into our tomorrows, into a new year, into the uncertain future, we might do well to remember that spiritual maturity doesn't grow in the soil of the unusual or the spectacular. Spiritual maturity grows at home, in the commonplace, the mundane, the everyday. God used what was close at hand to form Jesus into what he became. And he uses the very same methods to shape us too. Someone once said that we should take more care in shaping our future, since it's there that we'll spend the rest of our lives. as we take our next step into that future, I suppose we might do well to ponder the importance of our convictions, the trust needed for us to survive, and the awareness of the seemingly unimportant events and people in our daily lives. Simple yet foundational components mold and shape the future, where most of us will spend the rest of our lives. In the Book of Alternative Services, we'll turn to page 188. Page 188. And as we stand, let us confess our faith as we say. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
All things have been clothed in grace by the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the earth has been enlightened in his dawning. Trusting in the light and grace, let us pray for all people in need and for all the world responding to merciful God with, hear our prayer. For churches everywhere, today being asked to pray especially for the Episcopal Church, and for the Diocese of Yukon in the Canadian Church, that uniting in life, they may be faithful in witness to your Son come among us. Merciful God, for the poor of the earth, for the victims of warfare, for all who have died violent deaths in Russia and Ukraine, Sudan, Haiti, and the Middle East, and that mourning may be turned into joy. Merciful God, for all families and those who live alone, that they may be renewed in joy, receive the word of mercy into their hearts, and become places of hospitality to the stranger. Merciful God, for the leaders of the nation, that they may turn from ways of fear and warfare to the ways of your wisdom and grace. Merciful God, for David, our bishop and metropolitan, for all bishops and other leaders, that they may rejoice in your mercy and faithfully teach the greatness of your coming among us. Merciful God, for this cathedral church and our diocese of Fredericton, for those who are preparing for confirmation or marriage, and for our sick, especially Donna, Charles and Jean, Pat, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Graham, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, David and Janice, Dolph, David, Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, and Savannah. Merciful God, rejoicing in the company of Mary and Joseph and of all the witnesses of the Incarnation, we commend these prayers and all our life to you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Dear friends, in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Will you stand, please? The peace of the Lord be always with you. Thank you. God of light, in the birth of your Son, we see your glory. May we who share in this mystery grow daily in your love. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The great Thanksgiving is in the form of Eucharistic prayer number 3. That's in the Book of Alternative Services, beginning on page 198. Eucharistic Prayer 3. You're encouraged to remain standing, but if you find you need to be seated or you would rather kneel, you're certainly welcome to do so.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. in the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation.
By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The breaking of the bread, number 6. We break the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world. God, here among us, light in the midst of us, bring us to light and life. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we stand, let us pray. Source of truth and joy, may we who have received the gift of divine life always follow the way of your Son. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.